Well, welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We have just finished reading chapter 2 and talking about the different meal offerings.
Before we go into chapter 3, I just want to point out something. So often we look at Leviticus and start looking at the sacrifices and this type of thing. We tend to think only of Jesus. Now, by all means, think of Jesus. I'm not taking anything away from that, okay? But I think what so many people lose sight of is what's actually occurring in the offering. You're offering yourself through substitution. So when anyone brought an animal sacrifice, they're actually bringing that, identifying with that animal, and it's like them being sacrificed to the Lord. That's why Paul talks about us presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, but we're seeing the type in the Old Testament. And then when you look at a grain offering, what are you doing? You're giving yourself your labor, the things that you've expended your energies and all your sweat and all this. You're giving that. You're giving yourself, in other words. Somebody can give you money as a gift, or they can do things for you. One is giving themselves to you. And that's what I want us to see, not to overlook in this, not to take anything away from Jesus, what he has done for us, but to understand that there's something that we should be doing because of that, that we should be giving ourselves over to the Lord totally, completely. Crucify the flesh and give what's left over to the Lord for his service. Okay?
In chapter 3, this chapter gives the protocol and details of offering a peace offering. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord.
Now here again, this is making a distinction, really. You don't offer something to the Lord that's not good, that's not 100%. You understand, not complete, entire, however you want to say it. And even in God dealing with the nation of Israel, who started bringing him a blind sacrifice or a lamed animal or what, God said, give it to your king and see what he thinks about it. Mm-hmm. Isn't God deserving of our best? And so when we give to God, we're giving our best. Not something that we don't want. You know, it's like giving somebody something, a gift you don't want, so you just give it to them to get rid of it. Well, that's not really the right motive, is it? No, we're to give our best to people. Give your best.
I think about just that phrase of a peace offering, and you may have experienced this. When you know in your heart, I've known in my heart that I have done something I shouldn't have done, and I just cry out to the Lord, Father, forgive me. I've sinned. I've messed up. I've missed the mark. I want to make it right with you. I want to repent. I don't want to do it again. Not out of a obligation he's going to zap me, but because I have such a heart and love for him. Lord, I'm sorry. And you think about that, you know, the 1 John 1:9. Every time I say that, I can't help but think of Wayne. I need to 1 John 1:9 it. And how Jesus is, he's so good to us. He'll, you know, we've got that forgiveness. And he takes care of anything that's unrighteous and cleanses us so that we can come before the Father. And so I look at this peace offering and these, it's just, when you have a heart to come before me and out of just a pure desire, here's how to do it. And aren't you glad? I mean, and he does the same thing for us. We look at these different procedures and, you know, when I remember when I first start reading this, boy, it was like foreign. I was just reading words. Had no idea. Just literally calling words out. But now I see it differently in that he gives us procedure too. What's our procedure now to go before him? We go through Jesus, right? It's his righteousness that enables us to go before the Father. And so we look at this and without blemish, you're going to make this offering, peace offering, without blemish before the Lord. And as such a flawed person as I was before Jesus Christ, in my heart, I know in my heart, and this is not boastful, it's not arrogant, it's just fact, I stand before him righteous, without blemish, not of my own accord, but because of Jesus Christ. Well, that would ruffle a lot of people's feathers to say that. And it used to ruffle mine because I didn't understand. But, yeah. Just think about giving to the Lord. You know, I wake up every morning, and now that Pete's mentioned this, and I was one of those people reading through these different offerings where, you know, I never considered what I offer to the Lord. We read, you know, that it's the fruit of our lips that's our acceptable sacrifice now, and we present our bodies. But I've got this post-it note in my bathroom, and I promise we'll get back to Leviticus, but I've got this post-it note in my bathroom that just says, God, what do you want me to do today? How can I serve you today? Just written in Sharpie. That's a sacrifice, if you will. If we consciously go submitting ourselves to the Lord. You know, when we submit ourselves to allow His Holy Spirit to direct our steps, we're sacrificing that flesh, if you will, to obey Him. And so, you know, this whole training that we spent a couple weeks on, training the Spirit, God just doesn't miss a beat, does He? His timing is never off. It's always perfect. Because some people get into the Old Testament here and they try to start living by the law. I know of young people that literally are trying to go back under this law, which they don't need to. They're missing it and putting themselves under bondage that they don't need to be under. And so as we read through this, yes, for my heart's desire is I want to see Jesus. And I want to see, what is it, Lord, that I can do to better serve you? Train my spirit so that I'm not just reading about animals, and I'm not reading about, you know, the kidneys and the fat above the liver and the lobe of the liver and all the, you know. Let me see, Lord, what it is that's important to me to do. My heart's desire is not just to be a hearer of the word. May I never be accused of that. I want to be a doer of the word. I don't have to be a doer of this law because Jesus has fulfilled it. Every bit of it He's fulfilled. But there are principles embedded in this for us to glean. And so I want to be super attentive to that. And to be fair with you, there's so much in this I don't understand. I'm not sure anybody does. You know, we've gone back to, you look at the Tanakh, you look at the Talmud, and you can't find answers. You know where you find your answers? The Lord Himself, the Holy Spirit, give us revelation.
You know, when you think about a peace offering, what would you, what's your thought? It's something to do to get peace, right?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have peace with God? The flesh has done something.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, in Romans 8, he tells us that the carnal man is hostile.
Mm.
Now, the King James Version says enmity, but if you look it up, it's hostile. So the flesh, the carnality, the thing pertaining to flesh, are hostile toward God. And so to bring a peace offering, what you're doing, remember that you're identifying with that animal that's being killed and sacrificed. What you're doing is you're putting the flesh on the altar, so to speak, to get rid of that thing that has the hostility toward God. And when you crucify the flesh, then there's peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
And so this is the thing that we need to see is there's a role that we play in all this. And that we have to constantly be evaluating ourselves. Under the Levitical law, they had to evaluate themselves on a regular basis. And if they missed it here, missed it there, then they have to bring this animal sacrifice to get things reconciled. If there was something wrong with them physically, they were declared unclean, they were put out of the camp and not allowed to come back in until they were clean. You with me? All this stuff has significance to it. And it just tells us that we have to constantly evaluate ourselves and keep ourselves in right standing with God. It's one thing to be in right standing in relationship. It's another thing to be in right standing in fellowship.
Yeah.
Jesus puts us in right standing in relationship.
That's good.
But our sin can separate us from the Lord and break the fellowship.
That's real
good. You with me?
Yeah.
And so we have to constantly service this stuff, maintain, make sure that we're keeping ourselves in that peace of fellowship to where we have peace with God. We want to be in the presence of God. And there's a lot of people that are uncomfortable when the Spirit of God starts moving in a service. Now, why is that? There's a lack of peace there. You think about it, because if you're at peace with God, you're not going to be uncomfortable in the presence of God. And if you get uncomfortable in the presence of God, we have a flesh problem that needs to be dealt with. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Real good. Okay. All right, here we go with the identification. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about.
Now here again, this is going to be a burnt offering. You see this? This is a brass altar. You see where we mentioned he lays his hand on the animal and identifies with the animal. The blood is shed, signifying a death, right? And so just see this as that substitute. Now, what do we do today? We recognize Jesus as our substitute. But we have to put ourselves to death in Him. Paul says, don't you know that, you know, if you've received Christ, you've died with Christ. We've been crucified with Christ, is the way he said it in Galatians. He says, reckon yourself dead, buried with him in baptism. You don't bury a live man, you bury a dead man. You follow me? And so we have to see that, and this is what's going to bring the peace with God. Okay. Putting flesh to death.
And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covers the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall he take away.
So what are you doing? Remember that the energies and all that you're giving, you're giving to the Lord, right? You're giving it all. So he's specific here on this peace offering concerning the fat. He's specific. Now, when we go before God in a repentance or with peace with God or whatever, if we've done something, we have to do it God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be totally honest with God. You with me? God knows your heart anyway. You're not going to fool God. I can say, well, I messed up, I did this or something, or I can say, Father, I sinned in that I missed the mark. Call it what it is. And if you ask forgiveness, he's faithful and just, as Heather was saying earlier, to forgive us of our sins, not only forgive us, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so they had this provision under the law. That's the amazing thing about it.
Yeah.
Because when they offered that sacrifice, God didn't hold that against them. In other words, now there's peace
mm-hmm.
between God and man. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
But all that's on credit. Jesus had to pay the full debt. For all of it, okay? But you understand that you buy something on credit, you have it in your possession. Right? So you have peace in the possession. So do we, when the debt's been paid.
Paid in full. Okay. I think I read verse 4, and in verse 5, and Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
So these parts are on the brass altar, on top of the burnt offering, they're the burning wood offered to the Lord. Now what is it? A fragrant aroma. And I hear again, I can't overemphasize this. When you put the flesh to death, it's a pleasant smell to the Lord. Okay? It's a pleasant fragrance to the Lord. And, you know, I've looked at this for years, but I've never thought about it that way. I'm just thinking, why is something burnt pleasant? Because of what it's pointing to, what it's the type of. Okay? And some things have to be consumed.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That old filthy flesh that causes you to miss God by doing your own thing.
Verse 6. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish.
See, there are some options here. You can offer this, you can offer this. But whatever you offer cannot be defective.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give secondhand stuff to God. Don't give God something that is not pure, okay? We operate with an integrity with God. Operate with the integrity with God that you want Him to operate with ye. What do you want God to give ye? What's left over, He'll give you best. And so you're taking the animal that He is specifying, and He gives you a choice in that. But He says, whatever you bring, whether it's a male or a female, sheep or goat, it cannot have defect in it. God wants pure. God wants your pure heart. You understand? Not serving Him with your lips, but serving Him with your heart.
Now, we've been reading about earlier with the burnt offerings, many of those animals had to be males, but that peace offering could be either or. Did y'all see that? And in verse 7, if he offer a lamb for his offering, then he offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar.
Now, when you look at these and start reading all this, it sounds like redundancy and while the repetition and all this type thing. It's because he's trying to make a point. This is what I want done. This is the way I want it done. If you do it with this animal, he's not leaving you room to assume, but he's giving you specific instruction to where you can't say, I didn't know. You with me? And to me, that's what I get out of this, rather than just saying, well, why does he keep repeating himself and repeating himself? Because he's trying to make a point. Everything has to be done his way, not our way.
You know, I think about Aaron and his sons hearing this for the first time. Do y'all imagine that? I mean, imagine the detail that's being given. Listen, boys, this is what you're responsible for. You better pay attention. I just told you about that liver and that flank. You know, I mean, that's a lot to know that they were responsible for. And it's not only that, they would have to teach the people about it.
You think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah. What does he say? His flesh is not wanting to go through what God is requiring as a sacrifice. And he prays three times.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
But what's he saying? Not my will. Not the will of the flesh, but your will. And that's where God is wanting to take us, to where we're at that point, to where we're genuinely in our heart,
yeah,
are surrendered to God to the point of not what I want, but what you want. I'll do it your way. So this is the way you say you want it done, then this is the way that we're going to do it. And I'm going to tell you, most Christians aren't doing it God's way. The old song, I did it my way. That's the problem. We've got to learn to do it God's way.
That's good. Verse 9. And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, and the whole rump. It shall he take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord.
So here again, he gives you more detail on this particular offering, what's to be done, and what God, what's acceptable to God. And you can see here that it's burned on the brass altar. That means that this peace offering is what? A burnt offering. This is where, you know, back, I don't know, several years ago, I decided I wanted to list all the offerings in that he had in the Old Testament. I'm thinking, man, this doesn't even make sense to me, you know. We talk about a burnt offering, and then we talk about burning a peace offering. Well, is that not a burnt offering? And then we talk about this offering, and you burn it. Well, is that not a burnt offering? And I was getting confused. I was saying, Hogan's Goat, you know, what in the world is going on here? Until I realized that there are specifics for these various burnt offerings. And that's what he's giving us here, is the specifics, okay? And God wants all of you. Parts of it, he wants burnt up. Parts of it, he wants you using for his service. Okay? And I think that should be the bottom line of all of this, all right?
That's good. Verse 12. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about.
You getting the picture?
Yeah.
Kill that substitute, kill that substitute, kill that substitute. Or I could say, I want you to die to flesh, die to flesh, die to flesh, die to flesh. You follow me? Put yourself on the altar through God. Now, we're not talking about physically killing yourself, okay? But we're talking about reckoning yourself dead. So Christ's life can be lived through you. And see, that's really what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but it's not me living. Mm-hmm. The life I'm living now in this physical body is actually the life of Jesus. Jesus' life is being lived through me because the self-life has been put to death. You with me? And that's what this is about.
Verse 14. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's.
So you're getting the detail here with the goat, like you got with the lamb. And, you know, it's to me it's a reiteration rather than a redundancy. God is just hammering it and hammering it and hammering it. Get this into your thinking, you know.
Yeah.
I want you to give yourself over to me. Give yourself over to me. That's one of the hardest thing there is a human being is to yield his self-life. That's why kids won't go into service today. You understand? They want to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
When they had the draft, you didn't have a choice, you understand. But now they have a choice. And you find that, I don't want to live that disciplined life. But if you're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will live a disciplined life. I'll promise you that. And you won't be doing what your body is wanting you to do. Your body will be subject to the Spirit, not your body overruling and usurping the Spirit. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
that verse 17, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood.
We mentioned this earlier, but it's a total abstinence from fat and blood. That's a perpetual statute throughout all the generations of the Israelites. Don't you eat fat and don't you eat the blood. And you'd be amazed at how many people eat the fat and eat the blood.
Yeah.
No. That's the Lord's. Leave it alone. Give yourself totally over. Give your life and your energy to the Lord. Give it to Him. His is better.
You think about even the blood. Why would you eat blood? But if you go to some fancy restaurants, they have it. Like congealed.
Well, I went through survival training. You had a chicken there, and they drained the blood on that chicken, and some of them ate the blood. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, mm-hmm. I'll go without. I am not eating blood. I'm not eating blood. I got that out of Sunday school or somewhere. I'm not eating the blood. No, not going to hell over blood of a chicken, that's for sure. You with me?
Yeah.
But I was amazed at the people who would eat that blood. I actually cooked it in, it's like a congealed, hardened thing. You see, like the Maasai tribe in Africa today, they will mix blood and milk and drink the blood and milk. And so it's not, to a Westerner, that might sound strange. But to other people, many of them, it's the way of life. No. You leave that life to God. Don't be taken and the life of anything other than Jesus Christ inside you.
That's good. Chapter 4?
Chapter 4.
This records the protocol for a priest, the congregation, a ruler, or a tribe who had ignorantly sinned against any of the commandments of the Lord. The offender was to offer a sin offering in a manner prescribed by the Lord.
Well, now notice it's ignorantly sinned, not just blatantly and rebelliously sinning. Every one of us has done something that at the moment we didn't think about it, but then later on we get a conviction over that thing. We get the revelation we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Now, this is ignorant sin.
Mm-hmm.
But when you set yourself in direct opposition with God, I don't care what God says, this is what I'm going to do. Well, now we're not ignorantly sinning then. We're rebelling, openly rebelling against God when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the provision here is for sins of ignorance. And it's interesting that there's a greater accountability, if you will,
yeah,
for leadership.
Mm-hmm.
They had to bring certain animal of more value. And as you go down, priest,
mm-hmm,
you go down to the common people or whatever, then there's different protocol.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting. Different animals. All right, right with verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of congregation before the Lord. and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord.
So the bull's worth more value, right, of a greater value. And so a priest, he'd been set apart as a minister, as a representative of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if he sinned, then he was bringing guilt upon the Israelites. So he was to bring a young bull without physical defects, remember that, as a sin offering. And he was to take it to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lay his hand upon the bull's head, and then the bull was killed, slaughtered before the Lord. Why? What's the significance of that? He's identifying with the substitute. He's identifying with the substitute. The animal being killed is like him being killed. You understand? So he lays his hands on him to identify with him. Okay? But here again, he spells out if he ignorantly sins before the Lord.
So if you sin in ignorance, how do you know to bring the offering when it's brought to your attention? Hey, you've missed the mark here. That's when you bring the offering, right?
When the knowledge comes to you that you did something that violated God, then you offered the sacrifice. Now, when we talk about where he mentions violating a commandment of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord is the entire law, not just 10 commandments.
Yeah.
That would be pretty obvious of breaking one of the 10 commandments. But we're talking about, you look at the dietary laws, the civil laws, the various things that you that govern the nation of Israel. Those laws were commandments of God. God commanded that. So you couldn't violate that. And if you did that, then you sinned. Now, if you did it without realizing you had done it, once you are made aware of what you've done, then you have to offer sacrifice for the sin that you ignorantly committed. Okay? At times, that appears, so we'll need to stop here. We'll pick back up with this in our next session. Thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you.
Amen.
You guys have a great week.